And return with me this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. The most wonderful words of invitation you're going to hear. Marvelous words to delight the hearts of all. Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we hear and receive this as the very word of our gracious God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That is God's word. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for such marvelous words as these, and we pray that we would receive those words with delight and be glad that we have a God who comes to needy people with such open-handed generosity. And we pray that as we hear these words of invitation, that we might not let them go unheeded, but that you would move us to respond each in a way appropriate. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are invited. This is a season of invitations, isn't it? Graduation party invitations, invitations to cookouts, invitations to weddings. We get all kinds of invitations. Isaiah, in the prophetic words that we've been looking at over these last number of Lord's Days, has been describing for us this glorious city. And we saw that glorious city described last Lord's Day at the end of Isaiah chapter 54, in which the city that previously was storm-tossed, was ravaged by storms, was sacked by her enemies, that city has been marvelously and beautifully restored in ways that are reminiscent of that great bridal picture that's painted for us at the end of Revelation. We see in that city the bride of Christ being prepared to meet her bridegroom. Isaiah has described for us that city. It's a demonstration of God's creativity, God's imagination, God's grace, and yes, God's love as well. And now Isaiah, speaking God's words to us in chapter 55, says to us, don't just stand there. Come on in. Come to the city. Don't be spectators. Don't be tourists. Come to the city and be residents. Be participants in what is going on there. It's absolutely marvelous, this invitation that's been extended. And of course, the persistent danger that faces those of us who hear God's gracious words of invitation. The persistent danger is that we allow ourselves to observe and then to move on, to hear and then forget, not to respond appropriately to the word of God. And tonight we have got a gracious and urgent invitation to possess the blessings, to inhabit the city that's described for us in Isaiah's prophecy. Someone has pointed out that Isaiah chapter 54, in which the city is described, Isaiah chapter 54 kind of resonates with the flavors of the prophecy, the book of Revelation, John's Revelation, in which he sees that city that looks, we're expecting to see a city, and then we see a bride, and there's that merging of the imagery. This city is the bride of Christ. That's in Revelation. In John's Revelation, we have that, which reflects Isaiah 54. We come into Isaiah chapter 55, And it's as if we're stepping into John's gospel, where we have these invitations to respond to the gracious offers that are made to us. Jesus, for example, in John chapter 7, standing up on the in the temple on the great day of the feast, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." That living water that's spoken of earlier in the passage that we read, Jesus has living water, speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria, the offer of water, speaking to the crowd there in Jerusalem. "If anyone thirsts, those among you, those there in the crowd, you who are thirsting, come to me and I'll give you living water." And here is that same kind of urgent invitation at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah invites us, urges us not to spectate, but to participate. We want to break out our five verses into three manageable sections tonight. In verse 1, we're going to hear some very sincere invitations, words of invitation in verse 1. The next verse and a half, verse 2 into verse 3, we've got some rather probing questions that are asked to those to whom the invitations are addressed. And then at the end of verse 3 through into verse 5, we've got some solid guarantees that underwrite the invitations that are extended, all of which is to press on us this gracious offer of which the prophet speaks. So in verse 1, we have these marvelously sincere invitations. It sounds to us, if we've got the imagery of a city in our minds, it sounds to us as if Isaiah has brought us into the marketplace, and we can hear the voices of those individuals who've got all kinds of wares on display. And we're being called upon to sample all kinds of products. "Are you thirsty? Here's water, water in abundance. We can let you have water." And not just necessities and staples like water. There are also the luxury items as well. There's wine and there's milk. There's an air of celebration in this city. Not just a multitude of wares, but the things that are necessary for life. And yes, the luxury items as well, the wine, the milk, all of those wonderful things. And there's some real insistence. Do you notice that in verse 1? Come, buy, eat, enjoy. We're being urged, we're being called upon to participate in the good things that are on offer. This is not a store place, it's not a storehouse, this is a marketplace. These things are on offer, they are for us. But this is not like any marketplace you have ever seen, because listen more closely. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." These are valuable products. These are products that have a price tag, but they're being freely offered to all. As Alec Mateer, commenting on this, says, there is a price to be paid, but it's not theirs to pay. The hearers, they bring their poverty to a transaction that has already been completed. These wares that have a real price, a real value to them, they have already been purchased, and they're made freely available to whomever will come. And the invitation is, come everyone. There's enough for all, but the invitation is extended to each one individually. And you see, that's the rub for us, isn't it? We hear the invitations of Scripture, and we often forget that they are addressed to us individually. In the first instance, there's a gospel invitation here, isn't there? Because the Lord Jesus has accomplished our salvation for us. The salvation which is immeasurably costly, which you and I could never acquire for ourselves. Jesus has purchased that for us at immense cost, but offers it to us freely. The blessings that the Lord Jesus provides for his people, the blessings that come, for instance, in the manifestation of the city that we have and that we see in Jesus' visible church, the blessings that are offered to us in the church, the opportunity for us to be instructed, the opportunity for us to be supported in prayer by brothers and sisters who care about us. the opportunity for us to share our question, to ask our questions, and to seek godly counsel, to avail ourselves of the fellowship of God's saints, to take advantage of the means of grace as they're freely offered to us. These are wonderful, wonderful privileges. It's so important for us to remember that when we put our money in the offering plate, we're not purchasing the blessings of fellowship. We're not purchasing the blessings of instruction and all of those other marvelous things that we enjoy. When we put our money in the offering plate, we're expressing our gratitude for what Jesus gives to us graciously and freely. There's no quid pro quo. The people of God gladly receive what Jesus has acquired for them and makes available to them. And these are precious things, wonderful things. In a lonely, broken world, the Lord Jesus offers us companionship. He offers us fellowship. He offers us a place to be connected, a place to belong. And he does that free of charge. He says, come, you who are lonely, you who are hurting, you who are bewildered, you who are questioning, you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, come and enjoy those privileges. And yet sometimes we do hesitate, don't we? And well, we find that hesitation is challenged by the probing questions that are asked in verse 2 and then into verse 3. And sometimes when we find ourselves hesitating in the face of the gracious invitations and offers that are extended to us in God's Word, it's good for us to probe our motivation a little bit. What's holding me back? What holds me back from asking someone to pray for me? What holds me back from asking the question that's really burning in my heart? What holds me back from sharing the struggle that I'm having so someone can come alongside me to give support to me? And that what's holding me back from participating in the good things that the Lord offers? The most basic level of all, perhaps. What holds me back from resting in Jesus for salvation? What might keep me from that? Are we distracted by other things? The speaker probes us in verse 2 and into verse 3. He probes us. Listen to the beginning of verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? You're putting all that effort into acquiring, well, it's not bread. It's junk food. It's empty calories. It's not nutritious. Yes, it might take away the hunger pangs, but it doesn't have nutritional value. It's not promoting healthy growth. It's not promoting spiritual growth. And, you know, you and I can put lots and lots of time and effort into things that are unfruitful, that really are not edifying for us. And it's good for it. This is why the probing question is something that it's good for us to not brush off, not to dismiss, but to pay attention to. What's distracting me? What am I investing time and effort in that really is unproductive? The time and effort could be better used elsewhere. Why do you labor for what does not satisfy? What's the point in the things that you're doing? That's a good question for us to ask and do the reality check. Am I investing my time and my energy and my effort into things that are unsatisfying, that are unfruitful and unproductive? At the end of verse 2, listen diligently to me. It's one of those Hebrew expressions. Listen to me. Listen diligently and eat what is good and delight yourselves with rich food. There's a delightful banquet table that has been spread. What's stopping you from participating? Remember the parable that Jesus tells about the banquet feast that's been spread and the invitations go out. And, well, oh, I bought a yoke of oxen. I'm sorry. I need to go and check out the oxen. Oh, I bought a field. I'm sorry. I can't come to the banquet. I really need to go. And, you know, you inspect the field or the oxen before you buy them. Sometimes we just make excuses. I've married a wife. Maybe that sounds like a better reason for not being at the... But you see, The feast is spread, the invitation is extended, but here in Jesus' parable are individuals, they're distracted, they're preoccupied, they're diverted away, and the Lord spreads a rich, rich feast. Back in chapter 25, Isaiah chapter 25, God says, on this mountain, the mountain, Mount Zion, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow and aged wine well-refined. It's a great banquet, and it's for all people. It's for all comers. Isn't that marvelous? The Lord Jesus, the bread of life, invites whoever hungers, let him come. Whoever thirsts, let him come and drink of the living water. It's an invitation extended to all. And at the beginning of verse 3, then the speaker says, incline your ears, incline your ears. Come to me, hear that your soul may live. It's vivid imagery. It's stretch out your ears. Get your ears out on stalks to listen to what I have to say to you, because the things that I have to say to you, those things will nourish and feed your soul. You are starving your souls. Come to me and enjoy those things. No imagery here. This is a direct invitation. And when Jesus made that invitation to the woman at the well in Samaria, she said, "Sir, give me this water. I'm listening. I want it. Let me. There's that response to the invitation. You know, these are marvelous words and marvelous challenges to us, probing questions for us to take inventory, to take stock of what we're doing, and are we doing the right things? Are we using time and energy very properly and wisely? A good number of years ago, these verses impacted Trish and me very powerfully, and we sold our house and moved to the United States to go to seminary because we wanted to hear what we wanted to learn more about God. I'm in all likelihood, the Lord's not calling you anything quite so drastic, but the Lord challenges us to ask the question: do I need to be in the catechism class? Should I buy a commentary on a certain book of the Bible? Should I take a course at Bible college? Should I listen to a series of lectures? Should I teach Sunday school? That's a great way to learn what God has to say, a commitment to teach other people, because that prompts us really to listen to what God has to say. But I want you to hear the way in which God is probing us, What is there something that's holding you back from taking the next step to hear what God has to say to you, to learn what God has to teach you? And there are some real solid guarantees, and those come into focus in verses 3 through 5, because the speaker links these promises to these offers to the covenant promises that are made to David. In other words, this offer that's being made, that's described, that sounds almost too good to be true, but it's not. Someone says, if the speaker sounds like a street vendor, in this case, the deal that's offered is not too good to be true. This is a genuine offer. It's not something that's being offered on some kind of impulse. And we've had the experience sometimes of perhaps making an impulsive offer and then finding ourselves in the awkward and embarrassing position of having to say, well, actually, you know, guess what? I can't. This God is not acting on impulse here. This is part and parcel of God's covenant to bring blessing. In other words, this is part and parcel of God's long-conceived plan to bring blessing. The end of verse 3, I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. So we're being directed back to the love that God showed David, and the reminder that a greater than David will come as the guarantor of these blessings, the one who secures these blessings for his people. In chapter 54 and verse 10, we heard God speak about the way the ironclad covenant promises that he makes. Remember, the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. What God offers is not being offered on a whim. It's not being offered lightly or casually. It's being offered in all sincerity as a part of the outworking of God's covenant to bring blessing through a Messiah. And the speaker says, don't walk, run. The nations are running. Verse 5, the nations that did not know you, people from the ends of the earth are running to take advantage. And here's this is marvelous. We come into the New Testament where Paul is lamenting the negligence of the Jewish people and speaking of how other nations are putting God's Old Testament covenant people to shame because they're responding to the gospel. They're seizing the offer with both hands. They're running to come into a knowledge of Jesus. They're running to be united with the people of God. That's reflected here. People who are coming, who are running, because here is something that's graciously and freely offered. Many, 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 many years ago, John Flavel, in a sermon, imagined the covenant being established between the persons of the Trinity and the Father, looking out on a lost world, the Father speaking to the Son and saying, what shall be done for these souls, these needy souls, these hungry souls, these thirsting souls? What shall be done for them? And the Son saying, oh, my Father, such is my love and pity for them that rather than they should perish eternally, I shall be responsible for them as their surety. Bring in all their bills that I may see what they owe you. Lord, bring them all in that there may be no after reckonings with them. At my hand thou shalt require it. I would rather choose to suffer thy wrath than that they should suffer it. Upon me, my Father, be all their debt. Because the Lord Jesus has assumed that debt, we have this invitation. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for what wonderful pictures and what glorious promises, what gracious invitations. I pray that you would move our hearts to look afresh at the things that you provide for us in Jesus, the blessings that we have as members of the community of your people, the opportunities that stand before us. And I pray, our Father, that we would be wise, not unwise, but wise, making the most of the time. These are evil days, to be sure, but we thank you for the opportunities presented to us, and we pray that we would improve the time, that we would make good use of it, and we ask our Father that we might not squander time and energy on things that do not satisfy, but that you would give to us great joy and delight in feasting on the good things of our God. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.